Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a Tuesday edition of the show. It is a short week for us. I know it wasn't for a lot of you because I got a lot of angry messages yesterday about why are you taking a day off? Well, it was Martin Luther King Day and our company takes these holidays off. So here we were not there yesterday, but we are here today. I am here for the next 3 hours, your host, Mandy Connell, joined by Dave, the intrepid producer.
I am barreling.
You are barreling on a Tuesday. And yes, filling in for Antonius, we have our man A-Rod, fresh from his honeymoon. Why are you not more tan, A-Rod? I was expecting to see you just like a
golden
god.
You're the second person today who told me I'm not tan. I feel pretty tan. The camera isn't helping. I also have the sun right in my face.
Okay, so you're just saying bad lighting.
But
you're a tan god as you return from your...
I'm pretty tan. I'm not as tan as my wife, but I am tan.
Well, your tan is, your wife is naturally tan.
No, she's more tan.
Really?
Somehow.
Well, so you told me this morning that you had a cautionary tale.
Huh.
I want to do the blog and then we'll get to your cautionary tale when we get back.
Yes.
And I don't even know the details of this cautionary tale, so it'll be new to me as it is to all of you. But I do love a good cautionary tale. Don't you? I mean, don't you love to hear about some calamity?
Oh, it was a calamity.
I can't wait to see what I need to avoid in the future.
Exactly. Let me tell you what's on the blog. You can find it with one simple URL, and that is mandysblog.com. Mandysblog.com. That takes you right to KOA Colorado. Look for the headline that says, Mandy's Tuesday Blog, Peter Yu Wants to Be Senator, and some COVID testing shot. Click on that, and here are the headlines you will find within.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South American. All the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to press flash.
Today on the blog, Peter Yu wants to be U.S. Senator. I have to thank Fox 31's problem solvers. 12 COVID testing sites are shut down. The water war with Nebraska is going to heat up. Vail skiers are not happy with Vail resorts. And now the Biden admin ruins multi-day rafting trips. Hey, the useless Senators Bennett and Hickenlooper voted against sanctions against Russia. Why is this even a story? Y'all have to listen to the radio call of yesterday's Dallas game. The remaking of Joss Whedon as a victim. The WHO says not to try to get COVID, but I'm sure this will change at some point. Microsoft unveils woke check. 5G could actually make plane travel worse. Real sugar versus sweeteners, trust your gut. The paparazzi following Usain Bolt. German shepherds review food. This mom reporter nails it so perfectly. And Rand Paul is waiting for his apology from Big Tech. Those are the headlines on the blog at KOA Colorado or mandysblog.com. And you should go check the blog out. Today, Dave, this story of this reporter is so funny and so perfect. And so obviously, I'm going to play a little snippet of this. Obviously, this reporter who has a two-year-old has decided to do what she does best, and that is a stand-up to comment on tragedy. She's always sent out to cover these very difficult stories, these challenging things. So listen to the story that she is covering from the hallway in her own home.
Kayla Sullivan reporting live from outside my son's bedroom where he's currently being detained until nap time is over. Now, this story does involve a minor, so I can't release specifics, but what I can confirm is my son is a two-year-old terrorist who held me hostage at the Olive Garden earlier today. It's important to note the friends I met there do not have children and likely never will after witnessing this situation firsthand. This is an active investigation, but authorities believe the proper precautions were taken. I brought my son's favorite snacks and even risked judgment from other moms by bringing an iPad. But not even Cocomelon could have stopped this meltdown. After several cries demanding, quote, ketchup, ketchup! A Good Samaritan waitress miraculously understood it as the English word ketchup and brought him a bottle. Unfortunately, her good deed was later punished after he threw a ketchup-covered fork at her. Not all heroes wear capes, but this one should have worn an apron. You know, these toddler outbursts are becoming increasingly common as more and more parents try out the new craze, gentle parenting, and completely suck at it. I'll keep trying.
That is hilarious. And any parent of a small child knows exactly what she's talking about. Exactly.
I love when she did the ketchup yelling. That was great.
Ketchup! Ketchup!
In a reporter's voice.
At the very beginning of the interview, she starts her live shot by doing the head nod thing. Like, you're coming to me. You gave me the feed. Yes, you're doing this. It is. I laughed so hard.
I hear this thing has gotten billions of people watching it.
It deserves it. It's 31.7 million views on TikTok. Good for her for making that into a very relatable story.
That was one of those I bumped into last Friday, and I made it the first thing on today's because I knew we had to use that.
By the way, Dave sent me enough stuff for like 40 blogs today, so today's blog is already underway. Using a lot of the stories that you sent me today, I've already begun tomorrow's blog because it got a little wordy, and I thought, okay, I'll stop this. A-Rod just recently, as in a couple days ago, got back from Mexico, where he and his beautiful bride went to get married. They had a destination wedding. How many times did it get bumped back, A-Rod, because of COVID?
Three. Well, it was the third date, so technically bumped back twice. This was the third date. Thank you, COVID.
Yeah. So tell us your tale of woe or tale of warning. What went right? Should we start with that, or do you just want to lay it out in narrative form?
Oh, well, what went right is the day of the wedding on, perfect. Everything went according to plan. It was getting to that day. So we got there, not last week, the week before. We got there on a Tuesday, okay? And the wedding was on Saturday. From Tuesday to Saturday, I kid you not, the best way I explained our experience to people was, you've seen the Chevy Chase vacation movies.
Sure, absolutely.
We were having a wedding vacation style trip so far.
Nice.
Every single thing that could have gone wrong went wrong.
And give us a good example.
Why is that
Oh, I'm gonna give it to you. I'm gonna say that about 75 to 80% of it was due to the hotel that will remain nameless. They were just all over the map. But the biggest issue we had, and this is a cautionary tale to anyone that's either getting married or has kids that are getting married. I might sound dumb because I think it sounds like half the people I've told this to are like, you didn't know that. And half of the half were like, what? Really?
Yeah.
So this is for those that don't know it. I don't care if I'm going to sound dumb to half the people that are listening that I should have known it, that we should have known it. But this is for those that need to know to save your ass.
Need to know information.
So we had videographers and photographers planning to film the entire day. Okay.
Sure.
And this included the getting ready portion. But we didn't know that at specific hotels, I guess mainly inclusive hotels, because on the property, the inclusive hotels, they only want people there that are staying there. You cannot have people come into your rooms.
A-Rod, that means is they want you to use their photographers. They want use their people.
The only reason I mentioned videographers and photographers is that was just the
tip of the iceberg.
They weren't going to let we, because we literally had the two rooms ready to go, two different rooms to have all the bridesmaids getting ready in one room and all of the groomsmen to get ready in the other. They weren't going to let any of them in our room at all. The groomsmen, not the bridesmaids, not the hair people, not the makeup people, not the photographers, not the videographers, no one. But here's the part. This is where we most avoided disaster. Her family was staying in a hotel just down the road, okay? And her family got there a couple days before we did. And we wanted to go say hi to them, welcome them to Mexico and say hello to them and whatnot and help them maybe to carry bags of their rooms. We got walked, and this was at a different all-inclusive resort. We got walked around like we were criminals and said, you cannot be here. You cannot come here. You could have to stay in the lobby. Like, we're just walking her family to the hotel room. We're just saying hi. Guy was trailing us the whole time. He was like, you have to leave now. You have to leave now. You can't be here. That saved our butts, because if we didn't have that experience at another hotel, we wouldn't have
known
to ask our hotel, because we were walking back and we're like, I wonder if this is going to be a problem on our wedding day. If they're going to not let our bridesmaids and groomsmen in. And sure enough, we ask our hotel and they say, oh no, yeah, they can't come in. If they're not staying here, they can't come in. So we would have not have known until the day of the morning when we're walking everyone in to come in and get ready. Would have been like, what, 8, 9 in the morning. We would not have known that deal that day of.
Did you go back and look at the correspondence that you had with these people? Was that not mentioned anywhere? Because I travel extensively, though I've never traveled for a wedding. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that. I'm not a big all-inclusive person, so maybe I just missed that.
You guys would have been proud of me. I Karen'd so hard. I was letting these people, I was ripping them a new one.
Can I call you K-Rod from now
on?
Can I change your name?
You should have been there.
Here's
how badly I ripped into one of their managers at this hotel. The rest of the trip, and this was like another week after, we walked by this individual multiple times, and every time he stared at the ground, did not want to like engage us at all. But here's the funny thing. So, because of this, they wouldn't budge. We spent thousands of dollars to stay at this resort, and you would think they can make the accommodation of letting our wedding party into our rooms. You'll know where they'll be. You know who they'll be.
Right.
You'll know what time they'll be. They wouldn't budge. So we're like, all right, screw it. Hands in the air. So we had to go book two rooms at another hotel for just the morning, which means we had to do the night before. And then the day after to be able to have that certain time slot
ready.
So it gets better. It gets better. The hotel that we booked at, they told us, no problem. Anyone that's not staying there, they can come in. Totally fine. You can have them get ready. So we're like, awesome. So the night before, we go to check into the said hotel, the second hotel, to have the rooms ready to get ready into. And they say, oh, we don't have any rooms available. So we're like, okay. No. Before we even freak out, they say, no, don't worry. Our partner hotel, which is just right behind ours, has rooms. And we're partnered with them, so it's fine. We then get the card to go check into that hotel. They have the policy that you can't have people in the rooms. So we're like, we didn't book with you. We booked with the ones that said they could. Well, this isn't that hotel. We don't care. Not our policy. He's like, we only booked with you because you said we could have people in. No, it wasn't us. It was our partner hotel. At this hotel, we can't have people in. So we like ripped in them for like an hour and a half. And I don't know if they got word in the earpiece from like a higher up. They finally just face change.
Said,
no worries. They said, just bring the party down in the morning of, and we'll give them the wristbands, and they'll be like their guests. They'll be good to go. We're like, are you kidding me? Totally ridiculous. We're dealing with this.
But you guys still went through with it, right?
We went all the way through with it. And like I said, from the morning of the wedding on, perfection.
Yeah.
But up until that day, I swear, we had gotten to a point where we would look at each other when another hiccup happened, and we just started laughing out loud. We're like, are you
kidding
me? That's
good, though. That's good, though. That's how you both decided to handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Dave.
Here's the million-dollar question.
Yes.
I don't know if you had a judge or a priest or a minister, whatever you had, but did they allow him or her to come into the hotel and perform the ceremony? You're not a guest. No, you can't come in.
We only had the hotel to get ready. We had the ceremony at the church, and then we had the reception at another venue. So the priest didn't have to come in that. But I tell you, that's just one story. That's just one of the million things that went wrong. I'll tell you guys other stuff, but man, it was just, we just literally started laughing. Halfway through, we're like, we got there Tuesday, probably by like Thursday morning, any more hiccups, and I'm talking about everything, we're just like laughing it off. We're just like, this is comical.
So this is one of those things that you don't know to ask that question.
100%.
And they should have gone above and beyond to provide that information. And that's my issue here. And so what I want you to do, A-Rod, is I want you to go back and read through all of the paperwork, all of the information, see if there's anything that would indicate that. And then you and I are going to craft a very careful letter to the CEO of this hotel chain.
I think that they're, well, and again, we'll remain nameless for now, but it's a big chain. Yeah. Big chain. And like my mom's like a lifetime member of them, and like she went down and ripped into that, cuz my whole family was staying at that hotel. But my groomsmen, which are her brothers, were staying at the other hotel, are obviously a hair and makeup people, are videographer and photographers. They weren't in the hotel. Like, we obviously had to get them somewhere together, and we wound up having to get other rooms at another hotel. It was a total joke. And trust me, they paid for it with hours of being completely ripped apart by yours truly.
Well, and I don't blame you for that.
I mean, honestly, and I'm partially a guy that likes to see the world burn a little bit. I had fun doing it. I mean, because they were like, I was like, we are paying you thousands of dollars to stay mm-hmm. here. This is not a high ask. This is an accommodation that is within the reason, because I understand, like, with resorts, you don't want people walking around getting free drinks, free food.
Correct.
But this is a situation where you know who it's going to be. We'll give you all the names.
Yeah.
You know where they're going to be, and you know what their names are. Like, it's not a matter of, like, you're going to have, you know, 10, 20 people roaming around and getting free stuff. You have the specifics. You're going to make that accommodation. And they just didn't care, didn't budge. It was a total joke. But, again, cautionary tale for those that want to have weddings that are at resorts, or rather having people stay at certain resorts, have everyone stay in the same resort and just avoid the issue altogether. We did not think
about
that.
Well, but you know what, A-Rod, you did what everybody does. You probably found a few places that were close with different price accommodations. Am I right? Because not everybody, you know, not everybody wants to fork out a huge chunk of cash. Every wedding that I've been to in the last 10, 15 years has a few hotel options for that very reason. You know, that's why you do that. You want to make sure that your guests have a comfortable price point. But to your point, that is definitely a question that people need to ask. But I'm glad the rest of it was wonderful.
Oh, once it got kicked off, incredible.
Yeah, and you had a lovely honeymoon, and you're all
lovely
back and happy, although not tan enough for my taste. I'm just saying.
Hey, we got plenty of sun.
Yeah.
And we drank plenty. I also felt nothing of it. So many issues along those lines.
Yeah. Well, you know, living at altitude kind of ruins drinking.
We tried.
Yeah.
It's just nothing. Yeah.
It's
wouldn't
impossible.
Phase us. Nothing.
Yeah, isn't that weird? I think I'd like to know the science behind that, because when I was in flight attendant training, when they start talking about service and at the time there were literally no restrictions on how wasted you could get people on the plane. Right? They didn't have any cutoffs. They didn't tell people that they couldn't have enough. I mean, we were supposed to, but if you did, it created a huge problem. And they literally told us, like, second day, alcohol affects you more when you're flying because of the pressurization of the cabin. You're basically flying at 10,000 feet, right? That's what the air pressure is set at. So a lot of people get on the plane and they have a few cocktails, which normally would be no big deal, and all of a sudden they're sloppy drunk. They don't realize the difference. Well, conversely, when you live at 6,500 feet or 5,280 or wherever you live, when you go to sea level, you just cannot get drunk.
Well, I'll say this to give an emphasis to that we tried. We actually had a lot of COVID cancellations within the week.
Mm-hmm.
Like multiple people that got probably Omicron because it's so contagious. So we only had about 30, 40 people at the wedding. We got a lot of alcohol. 10 liters of tequila was drank.
Oh my
Ten
God.
10 liters.
Your people are drunks, A-Rod.
And we just wouldn't feel a thing.
You people are drunks. Somebody wants to know what city you were in Mexico. They do
Puerto
want you to
know. Vallarta.
Puerto Vallarta. Yeah.
Beautiful. Love it. We're going to hopefully own something there someday. It is amazing. Love it.
I feel that way whenever I go anywhere. You know, like, I should buy something. When I went to Europe, I was like, I'm going to buy an apartment in Budapest. Why would I do this? I don't know. I did not buy the apartment in Budapest. If you get 6 months away, you're like, okay, that's calmed down a little bit. I still want to buy a place in Costa Rica, but that's different and special. But now I'm like, language barrier.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Welcome back. Mandy Connell here. Dave, the intrepid producer, our new friend K-Rod, back from his wedding and honeymoon that had some great and not so great parts of it. But he's a master complainer. But we're not done yet. By the way, I've been strategizing with A-Rod on the off the air about how to handle this from this point forward. I'm determined to get him a free night from this hotel chain at a minimum. I'm determined.
Yes, please.
This will happen.
I want two. Anyway, two free nights.
Hey, you know what? We'll go for five. How many nights did you stay there?
11, I think.
Okay, so at least five.
At least
should be
five.
At least five nights should be our goal here. Yep. I've got to say a big thank you to our partners at Fox 31 KDVR, because unlike a lot of the other news media in Denver who did a story on Union Station and the disaster that is happening down there, they have been following up on this aggressively. They are working very, very hard to try and hold people to account who are responsible for this kind of mess. They've done story after story after story. And I got to tell you, if you read all the stories, this is what you get. Let me just summarize the stories, not from Fox 31's perspective, but from the people that they're talking to. There's so much excuse making going on right now. A big part of the problem, from what I have gleaned from their reporting, seems to be that in 2019, the Democratic-led Colorado legislature decided to make possession of hard drugs like heroin and fentanyl a misdemeanor unless you had an amount that was deemed for sale. So if you've got a gram of heroin, which could be half fentanyl, which we know can kill a bunch of people, you are just going to get a ticket to appear and the police are going to send you on your way. Now, coupled with the fact that according to Denver police officers that have emailed me, the Denver DA's office, when they do arrest someone for something like public fornication, this was the specific example that was given to me, the DA declines to prosecute, there's no bail, and these people are right back out on the streets immediately. All of these problems are problems created by Democrats. And I'm calling it like I see it, because this is a fact. The Republicans did not run the bill in 2019 to essentially defelonize drugs. And guess what, you guys? Back in the day when they did this, I'm going to pull this story up so I can share the actual commentary at the bottom, because I literally burst out laughing when I read this. Before they passed HB 19-1263, the supporters of this bill said that it's an effective way to stop arresting away the growing drug problem and to save taxpayers money. Now, knowing what we know about what it costs to clean up Civic Center Park, knowing what we know on what it costs to clean up a homeless camp that was also home to a meth lab, knowing what we know about how this is having an incredibly detrimental effect on the businesses downtown, it changed my plans this past weekend. We were going to go to one of our favorite restaurants, Tupelo Honey, but it's right by Union Station, and I was taking my daughter. And I'm like, I'm not taking my daughter down there. I'm not taking my 12-year-old, because I was told by someone else that when they took their 12-year-old down there, they saw a guy shooting heroin while he was being given oral satisfaction by another guy on the stairs to Union Station. I'm not subjecting my child to that. But they said it's going to stop arresting away the growing drug problem. What did they think was going to happen? A report from the Joint Budget Committee found savings anywhere from $8.6 million to $13.7 million over the next 5 years before the bill came. Savings where? How much did we spend to clean up Civic Center Park? How much did we spend?
What does this mean, arresting away, that we're just arresting people and it doesn't do anything? If you put them in jail for a long period of time, it does.
Or
it gets them off the street and your daughter wouldn't have to see them at all.
Correct. It is a very easy way to make life uncomfortable for drug addicts as you try to push them into treatment. And let's be real here. I love it when they call people who are living like feral drug addicted animals in the streets of Denver. They're service resistant, Dave. They're service resistant. Make them less resistant by making their lives miserable. Is that okay? Can I just say that? Because I don't care if anybody calls me heartless. I don't care if you look at me and say, how you need to have compassion for mentally ill people who are addicted to drugs. I do. That's why I want to force them into treatment. Allowing them to take over, hang on, Dave, allowing them to take over downtown Denver and ruin businesses, ruin Union Station, ruin the things that the taxpayers have paid for already is not exactly what I think is compassionate. It truly, truly isn't. Go ahead, Dave.
Generally, I'm for lower taxes and I don't enjoy higher taxes. However, if it means building more prisons to get these creeps off the street, tax away.
How about we build more treatment facilities as an option? How about we create or recreate the drug courts, which I understand are not operating now from other people in this arena, that we used to have drug courts where people could go and say, look, do you want to go to jail? Do you want to go to treatment? But now they're just releasing these people back into downtown Denver. There's no consequences for any of these folks that are doing this stuff. There's no, and they know it. One of the quotes on one of the Fox 31 stories is from an RTD bus driver. He goes, I've seen people be handed a citation, crumple it up and drop it on the ground immediately. And that is directly related to the drug reform bill or the defelonization of drug abuse by the Democratic legislature in 2019. And now we've got the governor out there acting all, oh my gosh, we're going to do something. We're going to make more treatment available. We're going to make what? You're going to make it available to whom? Service resistant people? You've made it easy for them to sit around and shoot heroin and snort whatever they want. You've made it easy for them to sit in Union Station and get high smoking meth off of aluminum foil. Fox 31 has video of that too. You've made it easy. You've taken away every means of cleaning this problem up, and now you're going to stand around and tell me it's a complicated problem? It's a complicated problem. We need a multi-pronged approach. How about we start with making it more illegal to do what they're doing again?
That's it. Make it a deterrent. Start by saying, yeah, you crumple this up, you're in prison.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and if you want choices, then you better not do that. But my top priority is to get them off the street so that I can live a normal life.
Exactly.
If you treat them, that's fine. If you put them in prison, that's fine too. I just don't want them to be part of our society.
I don't want them to continue to being destructive in our society. If people want to be get sober, if people want to accept help and get the help they need, I welcome that. I welcome that. I enthusiastically support programs to make that happen. But what we're doing now is ridiculous. And to act like, well, nothing can be done. Of course it can. Of course it can. I sent the story to Heidi. Well, hang on 1 second. I sent the story to Heidi Ginnall today because this is a weakness for the governor. I think he signed this bill into law, defelonizing these hard drugs. He signed it into law. So why hasn't he demanded that they go back and refelonize it so that at least police have some kind of means of getting these people off the streets and perhaps forcing some of them into treatment? By the way, voluntary treatment has the same success rate as involuntary treatment. Let me repeat that. Voluntary treatment where someone says, I'm an addict, I need help, it has the same success and the same recidivism rate as when you tell someone you're going to prison or you're going to treatment. Pick one. And they pick treatment, same level of recidivism rate. So don't tell me it doesn't work. It most certainly does work when you tell people, do you want to spend the next 7 years in prison or do you want to go get treatment? It won't work for everybody. There are going to be people that go, I'm going to go to prison for 7 years. But there's enough people out there who say, I don't want to do this. I want treatment, and they can get themselves together, but we're not forcing them. We're just asking them nicely. They're addicts, for God's sake. They're mentally ill. They're not in their right minds. They're making garbage decisions every single day, and you're asking them to consider what might be best for them? That's just stupid. It's just stupid, and if you think that's going to work, you're stupid. I'm sorry. I'm over this. Yes, Dave?
Yeah, for example, the people that your friend described at Union Station, my instinct is not to say, would you like to get treatment? My instinct is to grab you by the scruff of the neck and throw you in jail for doing disgusting, horrible things and using drugs as an excuse.
I will tell you that I am beyond frustrated with the notion that asking people nicely is going to make a difference. I had a story out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I think I found it last week. There is a tiny house village, Dave. It has 30 tiny homes that were built to provide stable housing for people who are homeless in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Right now, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, outside their tiny village house, they have a huge homeless encampment outside the tiny. And you think to yourself, it's probably because all those tiny homes are full. No. 25 of the 30 tiny homes are empty. Do you know why? Because they require people to be sober to live there. They require people to go into drug and alcohol treatment to get into these tiny homes. So what's happening is they have a tiny home village that's empty, surrounded by a homeless encampment full of drug addicts who are never going to make a better choice. They're just not. So we can stop and we can end the charade that just making enough choices available will convince people to do a good thing. We can end the charade. I'm done with it. It's absolutely ridiculous. But defelonizing has not done anything except spread the problem all around. And here's the deal. If we had a system where drug abuse was looked down upon, where drug abuse was a scandal instead of normal, like they do in Portugal, you know, everybody looks to Portugal. Hey, Portugal has legalized everything. Well, in Portugal, drug abuse and drug addiction is still looked down upon. And when you are openly using drugs in Portugal, they arrest you. And then they offer you two choices, jail or treatment, because you cannot use drugs in public in Portugal. Now, if we can get to a point where we don't just expect to see wild-eyed addicts wandering around the street because it's not socially acceptable, then perhaps we can get to a point where we can defelonize drugs. But right now, we need a tool for police to use to clean up Union Station, Civic Center Park, and get these people, force them into treatment or jail, period. And as a libertarian, it kills me to say this, but as soon as you become an addict and are out of your mind most of the time, you have absolutely ceded your responsibilities as a citizen, and therefore, in some ways, I think you ceded your rights. Yeah, Dave.
This is not just in the area of drugs. This is in the area of all crime. In New York, when they instituted the broken glass policy, they cleaned up Times Square. They prosecuted everybody for the smallest infractions. Things got cleaned up. We are doing the opposite of broken glass enforcement. We are letting everyone get away with everything and saying, that's fine. And the result is Union Station.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, at some point, we have to weigh the rights of the citizens against the rights of people who have chosen to live this way. And let's be real. I don't think there's a person in Denver, Colorado, liberal, conservative, in between, that sees someone who has lost their job, had major medical bills, living in their car. They just want to get back. There's not a person that I know or talk to on a regular basis that doesn't want to help people who need help. But what we're all sick of is being told that we are trying to help people who simply don't want the help. And they're destroying the quality of life for people who live in downtown Denver. They're destroying the quality of life for the business owners who have businesses around Union Station, which, by the way, until 2 years ago was prime real estate, right? That is prime real estate. They pay a premium to be down there. And now nobody wants to go to their businesses because they don't want their kids seeing people shooting up while they're walking to the restaurant. I mean, we have to weigh the needs of the entire community, and I don't know why the homeless population has become more important than the rest of us. I really don't understand that.
And let's wait, hang on, Dave. Calling them homeless.
Hold that thought. We're going to continue this conversation. We were really late for the last break. We'll be back to talk about this after this on KOA.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the second hour of the show. My friend Ross Kaminsky, who you might know from his time slot earlier than mine, wanted to disagree with me about what I was just saying about downtown Denver. So I'm going to make that happen. I'll either go on his show, he'll go on my show, because I would love to hear his perspective. But we had already continued our GOP Senate cavalcade today, where we invite Peter Yu onto the show. Peter is one of our, I think, an outstanding group of Republicans running to unseat the absolutely useless Michael Bennett. So, Pete, we've met before because you ran for Congress in this last election cycle. What has you jumping into the Senate race this time?
Well, you know, man, first, I just want to say thank you to you and Dave. You guys are such a credit to Colorado, and I just want to say it's an honor to be here right now. So thank you for allowing me to be on today. But when you sit there and talk about this upcoming election, you know, I believe in coming from a place of attitude of gratitude. I look at my family, and you think of the existence of my family in this country, it's barely even 50 years. You know, my mom and dad, my six brothers and sisters, they came to America in 1969, didn't speak a word of English, didn't have a penny to their name. And we had to struggle. I mean, majority of my early life was in poverty. I slept on the floor, had worked multiple jobs. We were child labor, basically, is what we were to survive. But the one thing about this, I think it's important that whoever represents the people of Colorado in our country is someone who actually understands what you're going through. And I think I have a better grasp on that than most people, because I know what it feels like to wonder if you can keep a roof over your head, if there's going to be food on the table, if we can actually pay our electric bills. I remember my mom and dad, my brother, just struggling to try to figure out how we're going to survive. And I want someone who represents me to understand what I'm going through. And I think a lot of Americans can relate. But on the other side of that fence, you know, because of how great this country is, and because of the fact that there's so many opportunities, there are seven children in our family. And despite coming from nothing, all seven children have succeeded in doing amazingly in this country and are living the American dream. And for me, it's important to make sure that we give back to a country and make sure that it's better than when we found it. And right now, I worry about our future generation. I worry about, you have a daughter, Andy, and it scares me that the opportunities that my family had when we came to this country are not going to be existent for our children or our grandchildren in this country. And we have got to make sure that we step up to address the issues as opposed to kicking the can down the road, because we are definitely jeopardizing what America stands for.
Peter, tell people a little bit about your personal biography, because you just mentioned your family. Your parents immigrated here in 1969. But what about you? You and your brothers and sisters have all worked very hard, but tell people a little bit about who you are now.
So the thing about this is, you know, I'm very fortunate. I've worked pretty much in every industry, whether it be basically finance, whether it be tourism, you know, basically even renewable energies. I actually, it's arguable that I have a hand in putting more solar on more roofs in Colorado than anyone else. I understand the industries. But right now I'm in the banking, finance, mortgage industry. And as a result, I've been able to achieve a life that I never thought would be possible, as well as my family. I've worked at some of the largest corporations in the world, holding some jobs such as director of marketing, you know, for the West Coast, for Wyndham Worldwide. I've actually been regional manager for HSBC Bank, the largest, you know, the second largest bank at the time in the world. And so the experience of being able to work in such large corporations, as well as even be able to build your experience levels through so many avenues, has been a big benefit for me. And the one thing about this, which I think is really important, Mandy, is my entire career has basically been in the customer service arena. And I know what it feels like to be on the other side of the table when I need something, or I need someone to answer my call or answer my email. And I want, that's the kind of representative I would want. I would want someone who actually understands when you need something, you need help, you can't just be ignored. And that's something that's a priority. And you make sure that, you know what, when someone's voice needs to be heard, that it is answered. And that's why I feel fortunate that I've had the career that I have. It's been a struggle by all means, but now, I mean, majority of my family, as well as myself, are all living, you know, amazing lives. And that's what I would hope to continue for so many people in this great nation.
What would you like to see addressed if you become our U.S. senator? What are your personal priorities as a senator?
Well, okay. So, you know, I think the biggest elephant in the room that we continue to ignore is our national debt. It is absolutely grotesque what's going on. I mean, right now, our Senate and our Congress has basically, you know, approved to raise the debt limit to $31.5 trillion. What people don't realize, though, is our unfunded liabilities are actually somewhere more around $250 trillion. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And so what we have on the books is actually just cooked in reality what really is responsible. I mean, perfect example, Social Security right now is right now at almost a $50 trillion unfunded liability, which basically means that there is more money going out than coming in, and we can't fulfill our promises. The same thing with Medicare, Medicaid. And so we really have to make sure that people are understanding just how dangerous this really is for our country. And then there's really only way, three ways to handle when you have a national debt this big. You either one, raise taxes, which obviously makes it difficult for everyone else. Two, you basically work on the budget. Or three, we default. We're not going to default by any means. So we really have to work on the budget and making sure that people understand that this is a true threat to our country. And so we need to make sure, in order for the best way to help people is obviously through making sure they have a job. Because here's the thing about that. The best thing you can do for someone is give them a job, not give them a handout, give them a job. And the thing about this, with the national debt getting this level, raising taxes, that only kills job production. But I'm also worried about other things too, such as basically making sure we're energy independent. Like I said, I worked in renewable energies. And although I have nothing against solar or wind, I also understand it will never be but just a fraction of our energy power. And it's important for everyone to understand that we need to have reliable energy to make sure that we can actually cease, as well as making sure that we actually have affordable energy so people can actually survive. And that's one thing that's really killing us. Right now, the Public Utility Commission said that in Colorado, 50% of, everyone, their bills will be going by 50% this winter. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And what even drives me more crazy, you have Michael Bennett, our current senator, running around touting an earned child tax credit. Going, well, great, I got you another $250 a month. But yet the Penn Wharton Business School found out that on average in 2021, the average family is going to be spending more than $3,500 a year for the exact same amount of goods because of inflation.
Peter,
so it's ridiculous that we keep going down that road.
I just saw, it was meant to be a funny tweet, and it's funny, but not ha-ha. And it was simply, all of you who voted for your STEMI check, all of that's been eaten in inflation. And it kind of goes right to the heart of what we're talking about. Everybody wanted the government to give them money, but now we're paying that price. And while you were talking, I looked up the amount spent by the federal government on Thursday, January 13th of 2022, is $19.9 billion that day. We're spending about $171,000 per minute, and we are borrowing over half of that every minute.
And that's what's ridiculous about this. And here's what's crazy about that. The Congressional Budget Office, when I ran for Congress back in 2018, they said that we were at that point in time, 70% debt to income ratio. Basically means for every 70 cents of bills we had, we only had a dollar of revenue come in. When they said that it would take about 10 to 15 years before we got to 100% debt to income ratio. Well, guess what? We're already there. And now the Congressional Budget Office said that in 10 years, we're going to be at 200% debt to income ratio. So that means for every $2 of debt, for every dollar of revenue. There is no way to survive about this. And they said that our largest government expenditure in basically the next 15, 20 years will not be Social Security. It won't be Medicare. It will be basically the interest on our debt. That is real debt that we have to pay, which is going to be about $5 trillion. That's more than what we pull in right now. And so it's ridiculous that our elected officials right now keep sitting there and saying, I'm taking care of you, when they are nothing, when they're, all they're doing is mortgaging your child's future away. That's a fact. And that's what... why I feel so, you know, hopeful in what's going on. So in 2018, when you said I ran for Congress, we made national news. It was ridiculous. We had national forecasters picking us to win. We had polls showing us even. The National Republican Congressional Committee said, Pete, you're the best candidate in Colorado. We just ran you in the wrong district, which was Boulder. But you made a huge impact, made a lot of noise. But the reason why you made such an impact is because you didn't go out there and make cheap campaign promises. You actually told the truth. I remember when I worked at CSU and CU and I went to high schools and spoke, these kids loved everything I was saying. And it wasn't because I was saying, I'm going to give you free education. I gave them a dose of what reality was. And they understood that, wow, I had no idea that Social Security was this, you know, insolvent, or Medicare. And this is the bills that are going on in our society. And I think if we can actually talk to people and educate, and which I think is my biggest asset, just making sure people understand the issues, I think we will actually, you know, correlate this into a better political environment where people understand what's going on.
Well, Peter, I'd love to agree with you. I truly, truly would. But it has been my experience that people, the debt is so much right now, and our basic economic education is so bad that people have now just said, oh, it's too big. It's, they can't even wrap their head around the numbers. So how do you, obviously you're passionate about this, and you're preaching to the choir on this one. Like you're singing the song of my people, right? I mean, this is what I want to hear, but yes, I will tell you, a vast majority of people don't care because they don't understand inflation. Like if you look at the polling data right now, so many people say the number one issue for them right now is inflation. But if you, I bet if you asked a follow-up question of why inflation is so high, they would say greedy corporations are taking profits because they didn't get a lot of profits during COVID, and that's why we have inflation. The disconnect between what inflation actually is and why we have it is so big that I want you to continue singing this song. I'm just afraid that for some people, the eyes are going to glaze over and they will not pay attention because, like I said, the numbers are so big that you can't even wrap your head around them.
And you're exactly right. And that's it's funny how you mentioned that, because people sit there and say, people have no idea. We sit there and say our national debt's knocking on $30 trillion. Our unfunded liability is actually, you know, $250 trillion. People don't even know how big a number a trillion is. And, you know, obviously, I mean, if you counted a trillion right now, starting by one, it would take you 32,000 years to count to a trillion. That's how big a trillion is. But yeah, it is about educating, and it's actually taking that time, Mandy, when you sit, someone sits and goes, well, I don't understand. I hate inflation. I hate the fact that gasoline now is 60% higher than it was a year ago, or I hate that my electric bill, that natural gas has doubled in cost and so forth like this, or that, you know, when I go to the store, food's already in double digit increases. Well, then if you actually sit there and take the time, which is what I am more than willing to do, regardless of who it may be, explain why inflation is, why we have a supply chain shortage, why the fact that people aren't working, and why there is a supply and demand issue. And you know what? It's amazing how you can get that light just going on. This was actually fun, man. Back in 2018, I got invited to a meet and greet down at King Carl Ranch. And I was going, oh, wow, this is great. I'm finally going to be going into, you know, a more conservative area and actually have a great evening as opposed to Boulder or, you know, Fort Collins. And little did I know, I was basically being, you know, there was the 25 liberal Democrats in the neighborhood that were there. And they kept saying, Pete, you better support universal health care. You better make sure that we protect our environment and so forth, going all the way down the line. And I think they were shocked at how my fact-based knowledge was. And they kept saying to me, Pete, that's not true, is it really? I go, tell you what, this was supposed to be a 45-minute meet and greet. I was there for 5 hours. And the reason why, I sat there and said, we're not leaving until you see all the facts. We're gonna search everything on the internet tonight. And at the end of the night, they were going, we had no idea, Pete. This is unbelievable. We had no idea. And you know, I remember after I left, the organizer called me and said, Pete, wow, you know, we actually came for blood for you, but you changed a lot of minds in that scenario there. And it's going to take a lot of work because obviously you can't get the message across if you're just sending emails out or buying Facebook ads. But that's what it's going to take to win this election, to make sure that we actually connect and show that the constituents of Colorado that we do care and that we actually do have their best interests in hand. And you and I talked a little bit about how I'm under a national attack right now because, you know, me being a minority talking about certain things, we're willing to take that battle on because this is important. Our country is being divided in ways we've never seen before. And I'm willing to do whatever is possible to make sure that, you know, this is the country that I grew up in and make sure it's a great place for where your daughter grows up in.
Dave's got a question for you, Peter.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In the past, when we've gotten in debt, one of the solutions was to grow our way out of the debt, which worked. However, we have so much debt now, we can't grow that much. And every time, and one of the other solutions you mentioned was raising taxes, but every time we raise taxes, the Democrats find new ways to spend the tax money. And the other problem, I just lost my place here.
So how are you asking how do we get out of the debt?
Yeah. Is there any solution left where we are?
And so
with all the spending increases, and the other point was all these things are on autopilot. They're never going to end.
Right.
how do we catch up when we're getting further behind all the time? Is there a solution? And if so, what is it?
Well, Dave, that's actually a fantastic question. This is where it really does come down to making tough decisions, because the truth of the matter is in America, like you said, automatic, United States of America every single month pulls in $320 billion of tax revenue, regardless of whatever we do. And the truth is, you always hear this fear factor by the elected officials saying, well, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, we're going to default on our debt, which is completely a lie, because right now our debt obligation every month is about $44 billion, which basically means there's between $270 to $280 billion every month that can be used to cover whatever our issues are. The problem is America doesn't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And the thing about this is we really got to start hammering down what was the purpose of the government for. And you know, the truth is the government's only responsibility is to protect our individual rights. But the thing about this is we have so many government programs out there that are on autopilot, but we're going to have to start making these tough decisions. And I would love to be able to introduce a bill where, you know what, every time we sit there and talk about our budget and our spending, we have to analyze what is a necessity of life. Like, do we really need to know what the effect of cocaine are on Japanese quails? That's actually a program that we're spending money on. And it's obviously true that when we talk about all of our budgets, it's ridiculous that we keep creating all these spending bills, but there is no accountability where that money goes. I mean, perfect example, the Secret Service just came out and said $100 billion were stolen out of the COVID relief plan. They have no idea where that money is. Here in Colorado, we had $72 million of fraudulent unemployment claims that no one cares about. You know, and geez, in California, they had $20 billion of, you know, of stolen fraudulent unemployment claims. So we've really got to start making sure we have transparency. And one thing you're talking about there, Dave, how do we fix this? I'm a big believer of an act that's been introduced for the last, since 2013. It's called the Inform Act. It's the Intergenerational Finance Obligation Reform Act, which basically, it's not a fix-all, but the best thing about this, it's a program that takes the Congressional Budget Office, the General Accountability Office, and the Budget of Finance and Budget, and it makes them every single year create two transparent reports. One, what is actually our long-term liability? And then two, the general accountability about what the taxes are going to be to pay for these things. And if you show this to the public and the Congress is actually responsible to write their bills according to this plan, I think that will be a huge step in waking up our society saying, wait a minute, you're telling me that I got to, you're going to raise taxes 20% for me to pay for this? No, I'm not okay with that.
Peter, you is our guest. He is one of the Republican candidates running to unseat Michael Bennett. We're going to take a quick time out. Will we be back? Let me try that again. We will be back with him in a moment. I want to ask you if you're familiar with Rand Paul's penny plan when we get back, because Rand Paul has been suggesting a way to bring the budget under control. It's now the five penny plan because of inflation and increased spending. We'll talk about that and other priorities that are important to you, Peter, as we work through this.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
All right, we are back. Peter Yu is our guest. He wants to be the candidate to unseat the useless Michael Bennett. I think I'm going to trademark the useless Michael Bennett. I like it. like it a lot.
Well, I tell you what, here's what's crazy about this, Mandy. He's been our senator for 12 years.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, you ask 75% of the state doesn't even know he's a senator because he's never visible. He doesn't do anything. And it's sad because I talked to a lot of people. They go, hey, what are you running for? What's this, that, and the other? Who's your opponent? I go, Michael Bennett. They go, who's that? It's like, wow, is this really? This guy actually ran for president. Do you not know who he is? Yeah. So that's just, it's sad that that's the senator representation we have right now from him.
Peter, let's talk about something. I read an article over the weekend. I could not find it this morning because I couldn't remember where I read it. But it was a comparison of what polling data in the American public shows are the most important issues and what the Democratic Party in Washington, D.C. has made their central issues. There's a huge disconnect between those two things. Where are you? What are you hearing as you travel around the state? What are the priorities that you are hearing as a candidate that you think need to be the focus going forward?
Well, the focus is always the economy and keeping taxes low, as well as the fact that inflation right now is at a 40-year high and it continues to go up. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that, oh, geez, inflation's at a 9-year high. It's at a 13-year high. It's at a 30-year. Now it's at a 40-year high. And people are feeling the pain. That's why I think you sit there and look at the poll that just came up by Gallup and why so many more people identify as Republicans now than Democrat for the first time.
I know. That's crazy.
Isn't that absolutely crazy? And it's ridiculous when you look at a Democrat polling service like Quinnipiac, who sat there and said Joe Biden's approval rating at 33%. So people are feeling the pain. And the thing about this is they know that just spending our way out of this is not the answer. But the one thing that really is become a talking point as I travel throughout the state, it's obviously the 2020 election integrity. And that's a topic that obviously had so many variables that upset people. What's going on back in 2020, where you had, you know, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania changing their voting rules against their state constitution. When you have ballots allowed to be, counted after election close, people cardboarding the windows in Michigan so you couldn't see what they were doing, water main break. Those are the things that can make people question. It's obviously going to make people upset. But the one thing about this that is a concern is we need to make sure we focus on 2022. This election is truly important because right now we have a government that's out of control. They are spending left or right. They spent $6 trillion in the last year alone. And we need to make sure that we have a government that's a checks and balance because right now there is no government looking out for the people.
Peter, if we did not have Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, two Democrats in the U.S. Absolutely. Senate, this would be a dumpster fire right now. You think inflation is high right now? If they had been able to pass Build Back Better, which is nothing but a Democratic slush fund, and they had been able to pass, I mean, it is through the grace of God that Joe Manchin from West Virginia and Kristen Sinema have held strong on the filibuster and other issues, because if they were not, they are holding back this massive spending spree. And I say a little prayer for them to keep their spine as we move forward. But the best way to ensure that that does not happen anymore is to replace some of these people in the Senate and the House and give some balance back to government. So
you couldn't be more true. I mean, that's good. Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin are actually lifesavers right now because one, they voted against destructing of the filibuster, which would have then put H.R. 1 into place, which is the voting bill. But then two, stopping this whole thing. And this way, here's what's hilarious about this. Mandy, as you can see, because we're on Zoom right now, I'm a minority. I know it's hard to tell.
Peter, you are Asian. You're Asian, white. Yes. Asian now, because Asians are successful minorities as a group. So you are no longer considered a minority. So don't even try that with me, mister.
Okay. Well, the funny thing about this is Kristen Sinema, who is a Democrat, the Democrat Party wants to play this act that they care about everyone. They want to help everyone. They want to encompass everyone. But it's amazing now how they are completely attacking Kristen Sinema. I mean, Maxine Waters was basically just calling Kristen a racist now, as well as Joe Manchin, because they wouldn't vote for the filibuster. They wouldn't vote for these bills. And so it's unbelievable that we were going through this. Yes. So it's been a godsend that, Kristen Sinema there. And that's why we need to make sure we win the seat back, because this isn't about power. This is about checks and balance. And right now, the fact that Joe Biden is our president and they control Congress and the Senate, we see the effects. We see the pain that's going on. People are spending more money. People are not working. Their taxes are increasing. And we need to make sure that we focus on 2022. Now, like I said, I'm disgusted about a lot of things that happened in 2020. I'm not saying I'm not. But at the same point, we have to focus on making sure we address the issues that are going forward. The things that people are, I mean, the people are sitting at their kitchen tables right now going, geez, how do we pay this electric bill that is $100 higher than it was last month? We don't have the money for that. We got to figure out, one, how are we going to get a better job? How are we actually going to get our kids back into school? Because they're sitting at home right now going through mental stress because they're not even in class. And so we got to make sure that we actually focus on the things that matter as opposed to something that happened 2 years ago. Like I said, I'm disgusted at everything that happened as well. But you know what? Do we want to wake up November 9th because we didn't focus on what mattered? And all of a sudden, Michael Bennett is still our senator in the state?
And Peter, I'm going to say something that you probably as a candidate don't have the liberty to say. And that is, if there are Republicans in this state that are voting for a U.S. senator or any candidate based on whether or not they believe that 2020 was a fraud and Donald Trump is the rightful president, you are the reason that Republicans will remain outliers in Colorado if you keep that crap up. Donald Trump is never going to be president. Joe Biden is not going to be found to be an illegitimate president and somehow replaced with Donald Trump. So let go of the fantasy, because you will keep Republicans from ever gaining a foothold in this state again if you keep looking backwards in your cult of Trump personality and demanding something that is never going to happen. Why don't you throw a coin in a wishing well and wish it happens, because you've got as much chance of it happening after that as you do if anything else occurs. Now that I've said that, let's move on to the next issue. Let's talk foreign policy. That's been stuck in my craw for a while, because I'm hearing that and I'm seeing it in straw polls.
Absolutely.
No, that's not going to win in Colorado, period, full stop. It might get you through the primary. It will not win in Colorado, period. Anyway, let's talk about foreign policy for a second, because today I have a story on the blog. Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper voted against sanctions against Russia because Russia is massing troops on the border of Ukraine. They are fully gearing up to invade Ukraine. Hickenlooper and Bennett voted no on sanctions that would have taken place right now. Now, we can argue about whether sanctions are effective, because Rand Paul made a really compelling argument that they are not. But John Hickenlooper and Michael Bennett said, we're going to vote for this other bill that will institute sanctions after they invade Ukraine. When you look around the world and you see kind of bad actors sable rattling and trying to assert themselves, what do you think that the American role in the world is at this point?
Well, you know, when you sit there and think of the America's role, is basically obviously to make sure we take care of ourselves, but also take care of our allies in regards to NATO and so forth. But the thing that's crazy, what you just mentioned in regards to John Hickenlooper and Michael Bennett voting against sanctions against Nord Stream 2, it's unbelievable the hypocrisy. First of all, they sit there and say, hey, we care about the environment. We want to make sure that we are safe. But yet they shut down, you know, the Keystone Pipe. They support, you know, the lack of drilling on public lands here in the States. But then they go and sit there and say, oh, hey, Russia, Europe, don't worry about that. Go to town on all the natural gas and fossil fuels you want to use over there. But what's really sad about this is that Russia, their lifeline, their only economic source is basically oil and gas. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a country that's, even though it's a huge landmass, is only, their economy is only literally 20-25% of what even California is. That's how small their economy is. It is all oil and gas. And if we can simply basically put a sanction saying, hey, you know what? We are not allowing Nord Stream 2 pipeline to go through right now. That would put a huge break on what Putin's going right now, as well as the fact threatening even shut down Nord Stream 1. You want to talk about a way of handicapping a country, you cut off their lifeline, their supply of income, it will be a whole different story. And that's why it's sad that we have to go through this. And I'm not advocating for war by any means. Obviously, in the Ukraine, you know what? I don't advocate that we go to war and support them. But same point, we do need to make sure that we take care of the Baltic states, as well as Poland and so forth in those areas, make sure that there is a military front there, but also making sure that we do help Ukraine in regards to having their own defense to handle what's going on against Russia.
Would you support Ukraine joining NATO?
You know, I would, but I think they got a long way to go, because obviously the one thing about Ukraine is there's still a lot of corruption going on with that country. They definitely want to be part of NATO. They want the economic, you know, exposure, but the problem is that, you know what, they are still corrupt. Obviously, we knew what happened back in 2000 with 2018-16 with Biden and Hunter Biden, what's going on there, the corruption that's going on in that society. So they have a lot of things, but you know what? If it basically helps avoid allowing, you know, Vladimir Putin, basically, because there's no secret, he wants to basically relive the old world of the Soviet Union. I mean, he already has boots on the ground right now in Kazakhstan. And so we got to make sure that we avoid that, because obviously this is a nuclear power. Even though they are a country that's economically not very strong, they are someone who can be a threat. And if we can basically help the world in bringing them in the NATO, I think it would be a long-term benefit. But obviously, they got a lot of work to do on their side.
What about with China? China is probably our largest and strongest geopolitical foe, on which we are completely reliant for everything. Absolutely. I mean, if one thing that COVID has shown us is that our supply chains are too reliant on Chinese and ships and all of that stuff. And now China has locked down again in trying Absolutely. To stop Omicron. So now we're probably going to see more supply chain issues. Do you see anything that any role that the federal government could play in making it easier and more affordable for companies to repatriate some of that manufacturing back here to the States?
You know, that's the whole thing about it. And I mean, if anyone asked me right now, I would say that the Chinese government is the biggest adversary to the United States of America. Their government is obviously corrupt. It's a communist regime. But the problem that we have right now is obviously we manufacture so many things in China, at an affordable cost. And as long as they have that control over us, even pharmaceuticals, they have a big control over that. And I remember just hearing about Christine Noem the other day talking about South Dakota in regard to some of the issues they've had. Not only are we having issues, in fact, that getting products and supplies out of China, she actually, in regards to even meat in South Dakota, one of their processing plants is actually owned by China. And they were absolutely, they were actually immune to what Christine Noem was trying to do because they didn't have to follow the rules because they were actually run by China. And so these are things that are actually just, it's a full-on world take by what China's doing. So we definitely need to make sure we actually start addressing this issue and actually trying to take away what the needs are. And that's why it's crazy when you sit there and hear about the Golden State Warrior owner last night, a couple nights ago, whatever it may be, saying that, hey, we don't care about what's going on in the Uyghurs. We don't really care. All we care about is the money. And that's why you hear like LeBron James saying, don't you dare ever criticize China and so forth like this, because obviously that's his gravy train. We have really got to start making sure that we make it a priority that America is actually responsible for these financial goods and production and manufacturing jobs. Because if you think back to 2020, 2000. Do you know like 17 of the top 20 steel companies were in America? But now, because of what we've done, I think there's only two of them. And now it's all in China. And so it's one of these situations where they are getting way too much leverage over the United States of America. And we have got to make changes before it's too late.
Peter Yu is my guest. He's a minority, unless you ask progressives. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to have fun with that. And I know that you understand that. That's why I could make that joke. Peter, we have about a minute left. Make your pitch as to why people should give you their vote.
You know, I just want to sit there and say that I'm a person that understands what you're going through. You know, I know the problems that we have in our country. I think it's important that you have a representative as you want to represent that will take every meeting that you need. And I think the one thing about that, I think what happens with our public servants is that they spend so much time trying to, you know, save their job that they forget to do their job. And that's one thing I want to make sure that our public service, you know, understand what their roles are. Their role is to basically represent that we actually work for you. And I want to make sure that people understand that's where my mind is, because I know I'm blessed. I sit there and think of my family. If we didn't come to the United States of America, we could literally be living in some third world country making $2 a day. But yet we got to come to America. We did it the right way. And guess what? We will never stop thanking this country for everything it's done for us. And I'll make sure I do whatever is possible within my abilities to represent you so that your children have the same future that I had.
Peter Yu is my guest. I have a link on the blog today to his website. If you've heard something you like and you want to support him or get to know more about him, again, check that link out. Link out. It's just you for Senate, YU, there's no O, YU for Senate, .com if you want to check it out. Peter, it has been a pleasure as always, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon at some point in the near future.
Thank you so much, Mandy. It's great seeing you and Dave again. You guys are the best. I just love you guys.
All right, man. Thanks, Peter. I appreciate it very, very much.
Have a great day.
You too. When we get back, we will, what are we going to do? I've got a lot of stuff we didn't get to on the blog yet, so let me do that. All right. I mean, the blog is giant. We didn't even really go through the blog today, and I can tell you all the stuff that's on there. We got 12 COVID testing sites that are shut down. The water war in Nebraska, which should be very, very interesting. And let me see here. Oh, one thing I want to talk about. Can I have a nerd moment in the next hour to talk about Joss Whedon? Do you know who Joss Whedon is, Dave? Any clue? No? No. Joss Whedon is the director of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel. He's directed several Marvel movies, an incredible director, and a really awful person. He's trying to rehab his image. And I'm going to give you perfect examples of how not to rehab your image when you've been accused of being a creep. Okay.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time to rock through the third hour. So a guy on, I'm assuming it's a guy. If it's not, ma'am, I'm sorry. It's a texter who is identifying as a man, as far as I'm concerned, sent me an article about Bill Penzi, the horrible, hateful, spiteful, nasty owner of Penzi Spices, who sent out an email last Friday calling MLK Weekend Republicans are racist weekend. I have now invited him on my show. I sent an email last Friday. I have bumped it every day, meaning I resend the email saying, bumping this so it doesn't escape your attention. And today I just threw the gauntlet down and said, okay, I'm bumping this again, but I'm beginning to see you're just a coward who wants to spout off and not be challenged. So hopefully my reverse psychology will work on him, but I'm trying to get this guy on the show. What a tool he is. And please, for the love of all that's holy, never, ever, ever, if you are anywhere right of center, darken the doorsteps of Penzi Spices ever again. We are lucky in Denver. We have Savory Spice Shop, which is even better. And I don't know what their politics are, and I don't care. I don't care. But I will never, ever... I had a Penzi's magnet on my refrigerator, and I threw it away. That's how much that guy hates me with the fire of a thousand suns, and I'm not even going to publicize his business in any way, shape, or form. And as a free market capitalist, I usually don't say, don't shop there, but please don't shop at Penzi's. Please don't. For the love of God, don't shop at Penzi's. And if you're the independent owner of a Penzi spice shop, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. But if you really care about my opinion and people who will never darken the doorsteps of your stores again, you should probably try to remove the CEO of your own company. Don't take it out on me. He hates me. I'm just giving back what I get. That's all. So I just made Dave read part of a long, what did you say? It was War and Peace. It was the War and Peace of interviews. Is that what you just said?
It's the world's longest interview. And you couldn't justify it if you had George Washington this long an interview.
No,
it was, I read several paragraphs, and then you look at, on the right where you see how long it is. You see where you're indexed and how far you have to get to the bottom of this. I was in the first 100th of the interview. And I'm going, why am I reading this? I don't give a darn about this idiot.
Okay, first of all, let me do a little backstory on this.
Okay.
Joss Whedon directed Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, two of my favorite series of all time ever. Okay. I cannot wait until my daughter's a little bit older.
I've never seen a single episode of either one of them.
I'm waiting until the Q is like 14, because if we start when she's 14 watching Buffy, then there's some, like when she starts having an affair with Spike, the vampire who was her enemy, but then they fall in love, but they don't really fall in love. They just fall in lust. But anyway, that's like late in the show. So good. But Thank you. The person who sent me that email said, I am a female, but it's fine. I am sorry to misgender you, ma'am. And thank you for sending me those stories about Bill, the hateful, horrible hate monger Penzi of Penzi Spices. That's what I'm going to do every time I say it. I'm just turn my head and spit, Dave. You know how that goes. So Joss Whedon directed two of my favorite all-time series of all time, period. Hands down. Love the shows. Still love them. And now we fast forward to now. He has also done Firefox, which was a Firefall. Great short series. Wait a minute. What is the name of that series now? Fire. My brain is completely messing these two up. What was the name of the series after Buffy and Angel? Firefall? Firefox? What is it? Crystal. What? Firefox? Firefly. Thank you. The wine yogi was screaming at me. I could hear her as I was mishandling that. Sorry about that. So I'm a big fan of his work. He's also directed Marvel movies. He's a very, very talented director. So a couple of years ago, one of the stars of Buffy, Charisma Carpenter, who I'm also a huge fan of, came out and kind of peeled back the curtain on what it's like to work for Joss Whedon. He was, as she said, casually cruel to the female cast members of Buffy and Angel. Now, if you never watched these shows, you have to understand they kind of turned the notion that women cannot be strong characters on its head. And it turned it on its head because prior to this, you had characters like Xena, the warrior princess, which were very stereotypical kind of Amazonian strong women, right? Buffy was kind of a dingy blonde high school student. And yet she was also this badass monster killer. And the entire series was kind of about a growing pains of adolescence, but it had all these strong female characters at the forefront. And Joss Whedon was always kind of, it is Firefly, thank you. It was held up as this feminist leader, right? He's the feminist leader, he loves, but behind the scenes, he was really nasty, super nasty to the women on his set. And they've come forward and said, yeah, and it's not just her, it's other women. And then we fast forward to Justice League. He was brought in to kind of fix Zack Snyder's Justice League. That was a huge disaster. He's been accused of the guy playing Cyborg that he was cut out of the movie because of racism. I would argue that Joss Whedon might be right and that that guy can't act that well, because I thought Cyborg was honestly the most boring character I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm just saying. Maybe it was just the way Joss Whedon put him on the screen, but I'm not watching the 9-hour Zack Snyder Justice League release. I'm not committing to that. It's too long. I don't care that much. But all of that being said, Joss Whedon had all of this kind of kerfuffle over the last year. So this article feels like it's supposed to be his rehab. His image rehab begins with this article, right? Guys, if you want to know how not to do image rehab, go read this article. Because after everything against him is laid out, and by the way, there are a lot of people that have come forward to support the women that came out and said, yeah, he was super. He asked Charisma Carpenter when he found out she was pregnant if she was going to get rid of it, because he didn't want her to ruin the show because she was pregnant. He called her fat. I mean, just really nasty, petty stuff. He slept with many of the young actresses on the show. He was not allowed to be alone in the same room with a young actress who was 15, Michelle Trachtenberg. That rule was put in place by her adult supervision. So there's a lot of nasty things going around. And instead of saying, you know what, in hindsight, I was a horrible person, he did not. He made excuses. He essentially says in this article, hey, you know what? I'm so sorry people misunderstood me. I'm so sorry that, you know, I would get angry, but I was never physical with people. He when told the story of one of his producers who actually quit the show in anger over his treatment, she said that he came into her office and was rolling around on the floor making out with one of the young actresses. Instead of saying, yeah, that could have happened and I'm embarrassed, he said, that seems false. That seems false. If you didn't make out with actresses on your set, you would know whether that was false or not, right? That seems false. The thing that is the most interesting to me about this entire Joss Whedon thing, and I understand if you didn't watch Buffy or Angel, you're like, why are you talking about this, Mandy? There's a bigger point to be made here. And the bigger point is that there was this whole cult of personality around Joss Whedon because of Buffy and Angel and Firefly and all of the Marvel movies. He was this wunderkind who couldn't do anything wrong. And when all of these accusations came out, it created a huge problem for these people that idolized Joss Whedon, right? I tell my friends all the time that when you idolize a human being, you are inevitably going to be disappointed because we are all human. We are all fallible. We fail, right? It's what we do. We let people down. We don't pay attention to how they feel or what they do. You just wait. You just wait. Joss and Jed Whedon, one of our Centauri Health text line, Joss and Jed Whedon did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I love this show, but I wonder what Ming-Na Wen and Chloe Bennett have to say about Joss Whedon. He did some stuff on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. You need to read this article. He's been a bad actor wherever he is, and I don't mean as in his acting. I mean, he's been a really rotten person. He's taken advantage of the power structure. He has exerted his authority where it wasn't supposed to be exerted, and he has been a really awful person to a lot of people. And instead of apologizing and mean it, he tried to deflect and then tell us, I'm this way because of my terrible childhood. It's my childhood. I'm so sad about my childhood. You know what? Everybody has issues in their childhood, everybody, including me. But at some point, you're an adult. Deal with it. Deal with your issues, right? Deal with them yourself. Don't blame everything else on issues that you as an adult should have already taken care of. My God, we've all grown up in the era of therapy.
You know, the excuses are new today, but the methods are as old as Hollywood. I mean, the casting couch has been there forever in the golden age of Hollywood. Moguls at the time did the same thing. The only thing now is they're getting caught and it's getting publicized. People like Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey are getting outed. And that's the major difference. But this is a phenomenon that's been here forever, and I think it unfortunately will be.
I just find the lack of self-awareness stunning. But the reason I bring this up is about the cult of personality. I feel the same way about Donald Trump as I feel about Joss Whedon. I love Joss Whedon's work. I love Donald Trump's policies. I think both of these guys are total scumbags. I think they're both
Alec
scumbags.
Baldwin is another great example of that.
Oh,
my
God.
I love his talent. The guy's amazing. And he's a scumbag, let's face it.
Have you seen him with his pathetic, like, it's been so hard. The situation has been so hard. I'm like, you freaking killed somebody. Of course, the situation is hard. God, I can't stand that guy. But the people around Joss Whedon who are trying to excuse his behavior, trying to give him some out, I feel the same way about the people who are giving Donald Trump an out. Did I talk about the lady who commented on, I don't know if it was on Facebook, and I made some comment about Donald Trump. I don't even remember what it was. And she was like, you are not qualified to say anything about Donald Trump. You're just not as good a person as he is. You're just, and I literally responded, just like Jesus only bangs porn stars when his wife is pregnant. Like, that's your guy? Donald Trump is your paragon of virtue? Are you kidding me? Give me a break. Somebody just said, isn't this just how most of Hollywood operates? I think it has for a very long time. And to a certain extent, there is this tacit agreement between some female actresses and these men in power positions that let it go on. Harvey Weinstein slept with a lot of women and put a lot of those women in movies that made them famous. And those women made that decision knowing exactly what they were doing.
Let's face it, no woman went to bed with Harvey Weinstein because he was a great looking guy.
Correct. Kids, if you want to know why you should stay in school, boys, look at Harvey Weinstein, because he's not getting laid unless he has some kind of power base. I mean, seriously.
That's true.
He's disgusting. He's like a troll. He's disgusting. And there
he's
are
like
beautiful.
An orc from, yeah. He's like an orc from Lord of the Rings. I mean, yeah. He is an unattractive guy.
And for all of the women that are coming out now saying, I didn't sleep with him, think about all the women that have been cast in his movies who did. Mm-hmm. It's why when Donald Trump said, when you're rich, you can just grab them by the boop, he's not wrong. The problem is that when you decide to grab the wrong woman, then you're in trouble. It's a cesspool of disgustingness, and I'm really glad that women are finally coming forward. And I get why they don't come forward before, because Joss Whedon has already been, he's also one of those, you'll never work in this town again, guys, apparently. He denies that in this article, even though numbers of women came forward with examples of him doing that.
That's like, the best reason for these women to go to bed with these guys. You'll never work in Hollywood again.
There you go. And you know, for perspective, I want to tell you guys a really short story. And it's a story I'll go into at length at some point. So in a prior job that I had when I was a producer and I was working for a talk show host who at the time was a horrible person, I can't speak to how he is now. I haven't talked to him in 25 years by design. He did things on the air and off the air that were clear, clear cases of sexual harassment. Like there's not even a question. I had thousands of witnesses. Okay. That's how bad it was. And I went and talked to a lawyer and I talked to this woman. She was very, very nice. She listened to everything I had to say. She said, you absolutely have a case and I will take it to trial and they will give you a settlement. It'll probably be $75,000, $80,000, but you have to be prepared to never work in this field again. No one will hire you if you do this. That's your choice. She's like, I know you have a case. I know you could win it, but I'm reasonable, but you need to understand the other side of this. So this was like 2000, 1999, 2000 in that time range. So well before hashtag me too, right? So I get why these women are scared because they're already in this incredibly highly competitive industry. And all of a sudden a very powerful director says, you'll never work again if you cross me. I get why they do it, but it doesn't make it right. I'm just glad that people are finally stepping up and saying things. And if he thinks this is going to rehab his image, it's not going well. The response to this article has not been kind. At all from any circles. It's like, dude, stop talking. Just stop talking because you're not helping. Making yourself the victim is never pretty when you've been accused of victimizing many, many, many other people yourself. Okay, that's my take on Joss Whedon and the cult of personality. You know what, Dave? No one ever created a cult of personality around me. That's disappointing. No one. There's no cult of Mandy. You listeners out there have been a tremendous disappointment to me. I just want you to know that. A tremendous disappointment.
And then anyway. But you never had the opportunity to take advantage of being the cult of Mandy and do terrible things.
I'm working on it, David. I've got to have a cult first, okay? I can't just do terrible things with no cult of personality. I can't get away with it. Gee. I think that's fairly obvious. Hey, good news. If you have Microsoft Word, their new woke check program is in effect. We're going to talk about that next. Wait, you guys, if you're an eye roller like I am, don't be driving when I tell you this story because your eyes are going to roll so far in the back of your head, you're not even going to be able to see the road. You've been warned.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Come on, Dave. Let's sing with it. Little Sweet Home Alabama. You got it. Come on. You can do it. Let's do it. Dave, come on. You know the words, right? Everybody?
Why do you know? Enjoy making fun of me.
Well, where I'm from, Lynyrd Skynyrd has like godlike status. So there you go for me. You guys are going to laugh and eye roll on this next story so hard because I laughed and eye rolled really hard myself when I read it. If you find yourself typing up a snarky letter to the post office, maybe complaining about your postman, and you see a purple line appear under a word, you have now been checked by Microsoft's new woke check filter. Now, they're not calling it the woke check filter, but here's what it does. Microsoft released a statement in which it recognized that the inclusivity spell checker may not be suitable for all scenarios and stressed that users can choose to turn the checker off at any point to be able to control their final output. Now, you guys, what kind of scary words are they checking? Terrible words like showgirl, mankind, whitewash, and blacklist. Yeah, it's true. They could be considered problematic and not inclusive. So, Dave, I have a new mission because I checked this today on my Office 365 Word that I have through work. It does this. So I'm trying to write an entire, like maybe a children's book, only using words that Microsoft has deemed uninclusive. I don't know if people realize this, but Dr. Seuss wrote Green Eggs and Ham. Oh, no, wait, Hop on Pop. One of his books he wrote when they said, can you write a book that doesn't have a word with more than four letters in it? And he wrote the book. So I'm thinking, this could be fun. I could just have an entire letter full of problematic words. The company drew criticism when senior employees at the annual Microsoft Ignite conference in November made a point of announcing each participant's race, gender, pronouns, and appearances, and acknowledged the indigenous land on which the company was built in Washington State. If I recall correctly, I believe we made an appropriate amount of fun of that when it happened, right? I mean, I think we did. I'm pretty sure we did. So, yeah. That being said, the new spell check function has been rolled out this year via Office 365 if you have the annual enrollment thing, which, by the way, is such a racket and super, super irritating for me because now you can't just buy the program. Now you have to subscribe, which is super annoying. The function suggests changing words like postman to postal worker and altering Neil Armstrong's famous moon landing quote from "One giant leap for mankind" to "humankind" or "humanity" instead. Other examples of the spell checker's woke suggestions reported by The Sun are "maid," words suggest house cleaner, showgirl, dancer or performing artist, headmaster, principal, mistress, lover, master, expert, and manpower, workforce. The spell checker also took exception to Mrs. Thatcher, stipulating that the former prime minister should in fact be referred to as Ms. Thatcher. Do you know how annoying that is? Do you know how proud Margaret Thatcher was of her long-term marriage? Do you know how often she spoke of her marriage and her husband and how important it was to her as a prime minister? And now they want to erase that in for what? Because what? Someone what?
It's none of their damn business. She Correct. Can be called whatever the hell she wants to be called, and yeah. They should respect that.
Yeah. And by the way, you guys, in this article is a step-by-step direction on how to turn this off. So if you, I find it wildly entertaining. Now I'm just trying to be offensive, so Microsoft's woke check will catch me.
Why is this a one-way street? Why aren't some offensive male words eliminated and make them less offensive, like gigolo? Okay, there is no female equivalent. Although the French, I guess I looked it up, they used to have a word called gigolette, but no one has ever heard of or used that word. Prostitute doesn't work as an opposite because a gigolo is an ongoing relationship. It's not a one-night stand.
There are people that have long-term relationships with prostitutes. Long-term relationships, but
that's not the primary definition of prostitute. Gigolo has only one definition, a kept man over a long period.
But
why isn't there a female equivalent?
There is. There's sugar babies, which are these women that sign up on these sites to get special favors from older men to pay for college so they sleep with them. That's being a prostitute. I refuse to give these things fun, artificial names. If you exchange something expressly for money or care or
upkeep,
why
not call them
male
prostitutes?
I do.
Instead of gigolos.
I haven't heard or used the word gigolo in like 25 years since I sang Just a Gigolo by David Lee Roth the last time. I don't think this is a word in common usage. Anthony, A-Rod, when was the last time you heard or used the word gigolo?
Ooh. Don't ask a young guy.
That's what I'm saying, though.
I've never heard of it.
Probably not since I ever referred to that the Rob Schneider movie, Deuce.
There you go. Deuce
the
Gigolo.
The European
Deuce
Gigolo.
Bigelow, male Gigolo, whatever
it is. Whatever it is.
Well, it's not a commonly used word. It's not
a common phenomenon
these days. But it's there, and it deserves equal treatment.
Well, hang on. Let me see if I can. Let me pull up my
Microsoft Word.
That's what I'm doing right now. I'm going to pull up my Microsoft Word and see
It probably says perfectly fine. Gigolo is great. Don't worry about it.
Nice. Hang on one second. I can't get to it easily. Hang on, Word. Okay, here we go. We're in business now. I'm pulling up Word.
All right.
If it pulls up. Let me see. It might be hiding behind all of my other stuff. Oh, no. Here we go. New blank document. Let's see here.
But you took that off of your Microsoft Word, so it wouldn't.
No, I didn't.
Wouldn't give the alternative. Oh, you didn't?
And now it's
you
not.
You have the spell check working?
No, it's not coming up on this. Oh, I have two accounts. That's what the problem is. Okay. I'm going to figure this out, but I'll check Gigolo for you on the other one. And see, because
it's
like a valid point.
Treatment.
I just don't think that the word is in such common usage that we need to worry about Gigolo. You know, I just find this really ridiculous and stupid and annoying. And I'm sure it made the programmers who came up with this feel really good about themselves. Because isn't that what it's all
tell
about?
You can tell me whether I misspelled the word. That's commonly agreed upon. But you can't tell me how to use my own rhetoric. It's none of your damn business. I choose the words carefully that I use.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I'm just
especially
saying.
People in the news business. You know, they're wordsmiths. They always use precise wording to get across their meaning.
What was the AP style book change that was made in the last few weeks that was so absolutely ridiculous? I couldn't believe it. I'll find out. I put it on the blog when it happened. Couple stories that I want you to check out on the blog. First of all, you got to see the German Shepherds reviewing foods.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Let's just say cranberries are not good. They call them cran boobies, which is really funny. They don't really call them that. Very interesting story about how your gut actually affects your palate. And specifically when it comes to artificial sweeteners versus real sweeteners. Your taste buds, even if your taste buds can't tell the difference, your gut actually produces different hormones. Or not hormones, that's the wrong thing. Yeah, maybe they are hormones. I have to go back and check it again. But they actually respond to artificial sweeteners differently than it responds to sugar. It's very, very interesting and yet another kind of, you know, piece of the puzzle when it comes to helping people who struggle with overeating and sugar cravings. And then very interesting kerfuffle about 5G and airports. Airports are very concerned about 5G rolling out because they say it can affect their altimeters. That I got to tell you, that freaks me out a little bit. Because how? How could it affect their altimeter? And if it can affect their altimeter, what is it doing to the rest of us? Do you know what I mean? I mean, we act like phone service and Wi-Fi, they don't have any effect on humans. I think that later on we're going to find out that, I mean, all day long we're being bombarded with these waves of whatever, energy, light, whatever. Eventually, don't you think we reach a point where they start to wear us down physically?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but I would wonder. But I wonder how what effects the 5G have on altimeters and what makes that happen.
What I wonder is why they couldn't just test this theory instead of just saying, don't use 5G. Do a study.
Well,
put a bunch of 5G phones around a plane and see what happens.
I think they've already done that and that there is equipment for all the airplanes that will eliminate this problem, right? So they won't have to worry about it. But the airlines have not finished updating the fleets yet. And so if I'm the FAA, maybe I put a temporary hold on 5G right around the airports, but I also give the airlines, look, you got 6 months. You know, assuming they can
reasonable.
Get whatever part they need, but you have to put some kind of time limit on it. Or airlines will put it off forever. Yeah, I mean, they will. They don't want to spend the money if they don't have to. So, in any case, now it's time for the most exciting segment on the radio of its kind in the world of the day. Hey, Rod, it might just be me and you today, bud.
I'll try my best.
Grant wants to jump in here. That's fine,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Grant's too busy for us.
Oh, he's very important. You know, he just celebrated his one-year anniversary for his podcast, Taking It For Granted podcast. Very good.
Well, maybe he should stop taking it for granted and play of the day with us.
There you go. All right, what's our word of the day, please, Dave?
Okay, word of the day is an adjective today.
Okay.
It is vainglorious.
Dang, this word always gets me. Oop, here comes Brandon. It means the opposite of what I always think it means. Vainglorious.
Okay, so
is it Van or Ben Glorious?
Vain, V-A-I-N.
Well, you're just V-A-I-N.
You're not glorious. It's the anti-glorious.
Yeah, vainglorious. Nope. is our word today. Unmute yourself on Zoom there, Dave. As Brandon just joined us, I'm not even going to guess because I get it wrong every time.
Okay, there are two definitions. They're similar. One is feeling excessive pride or self-importance.
Mm-hmm.
The other, given to over-the-top demonstrations of boastful pride and vanity. He's vainglorious.
Okay.
Thinks
I always
he's
think
hot
that's
stuff.
Wrong. Yeah.
What was the word?
Vainglorious. Today's trivia question, I feel like this is an easy getter here. What musical icon was born in the town of Locust Ridge, Tennessee on this day, January 19 in 1946? It was Dolly Parton. That is correct, Brandon. That's what I thought. Yeah. All right. So Dolly was the answer there. What is our Jeopardy category?
Category for today, pleasant four-letter words.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. All you need is this.
Mandy.
Mandy.
Ooh. What is love?
Love is the word. It precedes conduct, metal, Samaritan. Mandy.
What is, Brandon. I don't know. What is honor? That's not four letters,
nope.
Though. Dang
Brandon,
it.
What is good?
You are correct.
Ah!
Yeah, it precedes conduct, medal, Samaritan, mm-hmm. and for nothing.
All right.
Next one. In Silent Night, the Holy Infant is said to be tender in this.
Mandy?
Mandy.
What is bright?
One.
Five.
I can't remember anything now.
Just sing it in your head. Sing it in your head. Anyone?
Tender and... Nope.
Sing this a silent
I can't remember.
Yeah,
I can't remember anything right now.
I thought it was the word gone, but I'm not guessing.
No.
I'm just asking.
No. Tender and mild.
Mild!
Tender
dang
and
it!
Mild. Okay. Tender.
Next one.
Killing myself here.
An adjective... excuse me. An adjective meaning cherished, it's often found in the salutation of a letter.
Anthony.
Anthony.
Best?
Wrong.
Ooh. Join me at the Miners Fun Club.
This is an easy one. An adjective meaning cherished is often found in the salutation of a letter.
Mandy, what is dear?
Correct.
I was thinking of the end of the letter.
Yeah,
that's
me too.
Why. Back to there. Zero. Yes.
Okay, and what's the score going into this last
Brandon
one?
Has one, I have zero, and A-Rod has minus one. Woo! So I'm either going to tie somebody, Brandon's going to win outright, or A-Rod. Nope, go ahead. Those are
okay,
our only
outcomes.
Okay,
here it is. It means delicate in texture or consisting
Brandon.
Of... Brandon.
What is fine?
You are
dang
correct.
Dang it, you win, Brandon. So my prediction came true. It did
very
indeed
nice.
Happen anyway. All right. Tomorrow on the show, we have two really good guests that I'm excited about. Dr. Rachel Corbett is on to talk about Colorado Healthcare Providers for Freedom. Not every doctor is on board with the COVID dogma of shot, 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 shot. We'll talk to her about that. And then Caitrin Quattromani of Littleton is joining me to talk about why Jeffco kids are still in masks, even though they're having the same outcomes as kids who are not in masks. We'll talk about that and the book of questions where we show what horrible people we are. All of that coming up tomorrow, but we're going to hand it off to the sports zoo today. So keep it right here on KOA.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.